Reading from Luke chapter 7, verses 41 through 43. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, March 18th, 2025. We're continuing with our series, Shaping Your Future Self, Holy Habit, Seeing What God Sees. Last Wednesday, Dr. Pastor Derwin L. Gray began to help us understand how God loves sinners like you and I. Today, he'll conclude part three by covering how God graciously forgives our sins and how God redeems us from sin so we can worship him. Here's Dr. Pastor Derwin L. Gray, continuing what he began last Wednesday during Mark and Friends.
When the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, notice this, y'all ready? He said to himself, he didn't say it out loud. Jesus, he hears us. He said to himself, this man, if he were a prophet, the way this is written in the Greek language is like, see, I told you this guy was a lie. This man, if he was a prophet, would know who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him. She's a sinner. Now let's do some history here. To be considered of advancement to become a Pharisee by the age of 12, you had to know from Genesis to Malachi, the 39 books of the Hebrew Bible, First Testament, Old Testament, whatever you want to call it, right? You had to know that in order to advance. So by age of 12, a Pharisee would have beat all of us in a game of Awanas. They knew the Bible. Isn't it sad that you can be so religious that you know the Bible that you miss God is at your table for dinner? I wonder, and hear my heart, let me pastor you today. I wonder how many of us have become so religious and judgmental that we miss Jesus. In response to his great love, she's crying and weeping. Look what Romans 5, 6 through 8 says. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at the right time and died for us sinners. That's me and you. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. Watch this. But God. On the count of three, say but with me. One, two, three. But. Whenever you see but in the Bible, something big is about to happen. Whenever you see but in the Bible, something big is about to happen. Look at this. But God showed what? His great love for us by doing what? Sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. In other words, God is like, listen, I know you love me, but that's not what's important. What's most important is how much I love you. And when you know how much I love you, then like a rose blossoming to the sun, your love will blossom for me. So many of us are going, God, do I love you enough? Do I love you enough? And he's going, precious child, let me overwhelm you with my love. And you won't even have to ask about, are you loving me enough? Because as we inhale, we exhale. When you inhale my love, you exhale love back unto me. Years ago, and it still happens from time to time, but younger pastors will ask me, you know, Pastor, you know, you have a doctorate, you've written books, and what's the greatest theological truth that you've ever learned? Like, what is it that moves your heart and your mind? And I say, okay, lean in. So I want you to lean in too, all right? Physically, just lean in. All the people watching online, lean in. Neptune, Jupiter, lean in. Here's what I learned the most. Write this down. This is so important. You ready? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, for we are weak and he is strong.
Amen.
Yeah. That's the greatest theological truth we can ever hold on to. You see, we shape our future self by knowing that Jesus loves us. And so we want to develop the holy habit of contemplating his love for us throughout the day. Number two, how do we learn to see what God sees when he sees you and me? By believing that Jesus graciously forgives our sins. He graciously does it. Young adults, teenagers, people exploring Christ, he graciously forgives our sins. We don't earn it. We don't achieve it. We don't perform for it. It is a pure gift. Let's get back to the story. Luke 7, 40 through 43. Jesus replied to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." Whenever Jesus says, "I have something to say to you," Lord have mercy. You about to be made an example for all of eternity. "Simon, I have something to say to you." He said, "Say it, teacher." A creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii. A denarii was one day of working wages. 500 would have been an insurmountable amount to pay back. And the other 50. Since they could not pay it back, he graciously forgave them both. So which one of them will love him more? Simon answered, "I suppose the one he forgave more." He goes, "You have judged correctly." Please listen. Shame and guilt are the twin brothers of soul destruction. Shame says this: you are your darkest moment. You are those heinous things. Guilt says you deserve punishment for those things. A lot of marriages and relationships are sabotaged because of guilt and shame in the past, bearing weight in the present. Even as followers of Jesus, many of us are haunted by guilt and shame. We're haunted by the things that we've done. We're haunted by the things that even our spouses don't know. And we just seem to believe, well, okay, God, I know you can forgive them, but can you really forgive me? I know that there's many watching, perhaps thousands going, well, I know Jesus forgives, but he can't forgive me. I've just done too much. Can I put on my shoulder pads and spiritually jack you up in a loving way right now? I just want to put on my shoulder pads and just form tackle you in his grace. Listen, do you really think your sin is stronger than Jesus? Okay, I'm gonna have a holy fit. You can join me if you want to. But let me remind you of who Jesus is. Let me give you his Instagram bio. He's the eternal Son of God. He hails from eternity. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the King of Kings. He is the great I Am, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. He's the one who defeated sin and death and evil. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the great I Am. He's the bread of life. He's the one in which angels say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." That's the Jesus, and your sin and my sin is not too strong for his blood. That's who he is. That's who he is. So you and I can bring our little busted up toe up selves to the King. And guess what? We'll find the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You don't have to live with shame and guilt, brothers and sisters. And there's a world filled with shame and guilt. Let them know that there's a shame remover and a guilt eraser. Let's let Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 just give us a shower of grace. So we praise God for the glorious grace he poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. Because you belong to Jesus, all that's true of Jesus is now true of you. He is so rich in kindness and grace. What did he do? He purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. What is our freedom? I'm talking from a biblical perspective. We are free from sin and death and evil. That don't mean we're going to be sinless. It means we just have power over sin now. It means we're free from death because of the resurrection. It means we're free to defeat the evil one with Jesus's victory. Please understand this. Freedom is not doing what I want to do. That's what a five-year-old does. True freedom is loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Freedom is the capacity to love with no strings attached. You see, we shape our future self by contemplating the depths of God's forgiveness. Now, family, is forgiveness hard? Yeah. Is it tough? Yeah. Back in, gosh, this is probably 2001, 2002, maybe even 2000. I can't remember. I have to look at my journals. But I had been a Christian for just a short time, and I was writing letters to family and friends, and I was like, Jesus is awesome. He'll forgive you. Like, I was that brand new Christian that, regardless of the conversation, I'm going to tell you about Christ. You'd be like, hey, Derwin, what's up, man? It's a beautiful day. Man, it is a beautiful day. 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, it was a beautiful day. Man, Derwin, did you watch the game? Yeah, I watched the game. Well, let me tell you about the real game. Let me tell you about the Super Bowl. 2,000. So anyway, I'm writing these letters, right? And I hear a voice. I'm not saying it's God's voice, but it wasn't my voice. And the voice said this, find your father. So my father suffered from mental health issues, substance abuse. And, you know, when you're 13, 14, you just know your dad's not there. So can you imagine having a son that plays in the NFL and you don't even go to a middle school game, a high school game, or a college game? And so a lot of my motivation to succeed was I want to show him I can make it without him, which the fact that that was my motivation showed that I was actually wounded and hurt. Listen, you cannot outperform your wounds. You cannot outachieve your wounds. You can cover them up for a little bit, but they're just Band-Aids. You have to go to the wound healer, and that's Jesus. So when I heard the voice, go find your father, I literally, the word wasn't around then, but I was triggered. I was on the ground cussing. Now, I ain't talking about little cussing. I ain't talking about Christian cussing. I'm talking F-bombs, and I'm just, he doesn't deserve me to blankety-blank find him, and where was he when I was sexually molested, and where was he when I needed to learn how to treat women, and where was he, and I was just going off, and I was just in a puddle of tears in my office all alone. It was almost like God gently scooped me up, put me on his lap, grabbed my head, moved it to his chest, and said, son, you're right, it does hurt. And you're right, he doesn't deserve you to go find him. But never forget, you didn't deserve my son Jesus going to find you. You forgive him the way he's forgiven you. Now, let me pause here. Forgiveness does not mean staying in a physically abusive relationship or an emotionally abusive relationship. That's called enabling bad habits, and that's toxic, and it's sinful, and it's wrong. When I'm talking about forgiveness, I'm talking about saying, I no longer give you the right to hurt me. I'm gonna release you the way God has forgiven me, and I'm gonna try to have peace with you, which I was able to do. But here's the thing. I was only able to forgive as I contemplated the depths of God's forgiveness for me. Maybe your alabaster jar that you need to pour out is you have unforgiveness stored up. It's time to pour it out. How do we learn to see what God sees when he sees you? Number three, by believing that Jesus redeems us from sin so we can worship God. I'm gonna let you write that down. And I have to admit, as I was writing that last point, I thought, man, I need a more riveting point, something more exciting. And God was like, what can actually be more exciting than worshiping me? And I said, well, no, I get it, Lord, but I mean, I need it to rhyme. He goes, no. This is good. And here's why. God does not forgive us from sin. God does not rescue us from death. God does not defeat the devil so our dreams can happen, so I can get my personal fulfillment. He does it, one, because he loves us, and two, he has a purpose for us. Matter of fact, we should be purpose-driven, and that purpose that drives us is God says that when you see me, that when you love me, you become like the one you see and you love. God doesn't need our worship. We need to worship him because that's what we were created for, and worship is not just singing songs. The greatest worship song ever sung is a life of obedience to King Jesus. He's setting us free. Watch what worship looks like. I love this. Turning to the woman. Ooh, I've never seen this before. I think there's a picture here. The Bible says that we Christians are the bride of Christ. Male and female. So Jesus turns to us. That's pretty cool. Turning to the woman, he said to Simon, he is about to put this religious Pharisee on blast. watch this. He said, Simon, do you see this woman? You know, the one that you said is a sinner. I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. It was Jewish custom in the first century that at the front door was a basin of water. Why? Because the roads were dusty. And Jewish hospitality says your lower servant in the house or yourself, you go to that water basin and you wash your guests' feet to welcome them. Here's the religious leader who doesn't do it, but a sinner does. Wow. Oh, the surgery's just beginning. But she, with tears, has washed my feet. Notice, water comes from without. Tears come from within. Within her is her worship because of his forgiveness and grace and acceptance. And she took her hair to wash his feet. You gave me no kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. Another customary thing for guests is you gave them a kiss on the cheek, and she is kissing Jesus's feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with her perfume. She took her future dowry, and she is pouring it out on the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine the scene all around town? Oh my gosh, the woman who is a sinner, the woman with the bad reputation is at Jesus's feet, and it's chaotic. It's beautiful chaos. She's weeping and crying and hair is everywhere, and she takes her future and she's pouring it out on Jesus's feet, and she's weeping and crying. In that moment is this holy moment that she sees what she was created for, worship. And here's the great thing. Oh my God, here's the great thing. When you get down on your knees to worship, then you can truly stand up to walk. He goes on. This is one of the first scriptures I memorized as a brand new Christian. Verse 47. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That's why she loved so much. But the one who's forgiven little loves little. Isn't it sad you had a religious leader with full of biblical knowledge and little love? Verse 48, then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? Mark chapter 2, verses 5 through 7 recognizes that only God could forgive sins. The Pharisee had God the Son in his house. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I Am, was in his house, and he didn't know it. But a woman who potentially was a prostitute did. He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. How do we begin to see what God sees? We remember that he redeemed us to worship him. We remember that we have been graciously forgiven of our sins. We remember that we are loved, that we contemplate these things all day. The scene of the crime is your mind. And so God wants to fill us. We name Transformation Church out of Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We develop holy habits from holy thoughts. As we can see from this incredible story, worship is motivated by grace. Worship is sacrificial. And something else I should add is it's courageous. Can you imagine that woman in that society saying, I don't care about these people. I'm going to see Jesus. For some of you, there are some relationships that are keeping you from seeing the fullness of Jesus. It's servant-oriented and it's financially generous. If you want to know what a man or woman believes about Jesus, don't ask them. Just say, let me see your checkbook. For where your heart is, your treasure will be there also. At the end of sermons at Transformation Church, I call it a soul tattoo. What's the big idea? Teenagers and young adults, what's the big idea? Here it is. It's time for you to break your alabaster jar at the feet of Jesus. What is your alabaster jar? Is it unforgiveness? I don't know what it is. But you shape your future self by seeing what God sees. And what God sees is one who is loved, one who is forgiven, and one who is set free to worship. Those are not things you achieve. That's what we believe. And out of what we believe, it is conceived into the world. It gives life. This is what I want to do. I'm going to pray for those of you who are yet to follow Jesus. And then I'm going to pray for those of us who do follow him, but our alabaster jars are still full. Will you pray with me? I want to pray right now for those of you that are online, whether if it's Facebook or whatever it may be, and those who are physically here, that in this moment right now, you're saying, you know what, Pastor Derwin, I'm ready to follow Jesus. I'm ready to be forgiven. I'm ready to receive love. I've been looking for love in all the wrong places, but I found out that love has found me in the person of Jesus, and I want to be loved. I want to be forgiven. I want to be made new. I want to give my life to him. Today, would you run into the arms of Jesus? Today, would you bring your hurt, your pain, and your sin to Jesus? If you're ready to give your life to him in the silence of your heart, I want you to say this. King Jesus, today I say yes to your invitation of grace. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that upon that bloody rugged cross, you died for me in my place to give me grace. I believe that your precious blood forever forgives me. Motivation was love. And I believe that on the third day, you conquered death. And when you rose up out of that tomb, you brought me with you, and now I'm the dwelling place of the Spirit. I'm a part of your family called the body of Christ. I receive this free gift. Next, I want to pray for followers of Jesus that it's time for you to break open your alabaster jar. It's time for you to remove the cap and just pour out on Jesus. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. Just give it to him. He's gracious and he's kind and he's good. In response to his forgiveness, give it to him. Lord, may we be a people that we shape our future self by remembering how you see us as loved, forgiven, and redeemed worshipers. We pray this in the name of King Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen and amen and amen. That was a message by Dr. Pastor Derwin L. Gray, concluding part 3, Shaping Your Future Self. His focus was holy habit, seeing what God sees. Do you recognize yourself as a sinner that is loved, in fact, by God? Do you realize that he graciously forgives our sins and that he redeems us from sin so that we can worship him best? Worship is grace-motivated, sacrificial, servant-oriented, and financially generous. I hope you've been blessed by this series, and tomorrow we'll look at part 4 as Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church continues this series, Shaping Your Future Self, by looking at habits that help you hold on in hard times. That'll start being covered tomorrow and next Tuesday, maybe Tuesday and Wednesday. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, or you missed parts 1, 2, and 3, they are all archived at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.